Welcome, everyone, to the wedding party. My name's Mac Dunlop, and some of our invited guests today are Katie Kirk, Keith Sparrow, Connie Crosby, and Henry Emmett.
Look after it, but don't play it.
Yes, dear.
Can I just get a quick photo of everyone? A wedding photograph,
yeah.
No? Okay, looking good, yeah, cheese! Oh, another one? Lovely, okay. Let's have a funny one.
Okay.
A funny one for the kids, okay? Brilliant! Well, hello everyone, how are you?
Hello.
Nice to see you. Hello, Wilf. How are you doing?
All right.
And Jackie, how are you?
Oh, not
too bad, thank you.
Good. Nice to see you all. I'm glad you could come to our wedding party. Hi,
yeah.
Mike. How are
Sorry.
You? Good to see you. Welcome to our wedding party. You are our invited guests. Now, I'm just going to grab a microphone here. Phil. Oh, may I introduce you to Phil? He's the one with the funny
Hi,
headphones
Phil.
On.
Now, the thing about this wedding party is that, well, to be honest, I've decided to get married myself.
Ooh,
well, when I say myself, I don't mean myself, obviously. I mean, I'm not going to get married on my own. Yes, I'd take me to be my lawfully wedded me. Of course not. It takes two to get married, doesn't it? So my partner and I, we've decided to get married.
I was thinking about getting my dress made up rather than off the shelf, not that I can afford it. But I've been at that shop Mix and Match in High Cross Street next to the post office. Oh, they had the latest fashions, just as good as London.
That's Mrs. Mortimer's, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, she's a proper dressmaker. Does all her own window displays.
Only Mix and Match don't do bespoke like wedding dresses, but it's all the best quality. You can go in for a fitting and pick it up the next morning.
Jackie, darling, you simply must help me. I want to wear that cardan suede trouser suit, the one you took in for me before Christmas. It's far too tight around the middle. I can't think what must have happened. Must have shrunk at the dry cleaners.
Yes.
Yeah, well, naturally, I refused to pay. I said, if anything, they should be compensating me.
One too many pasties at Caroline Bay Golf Club, if you ask me. Don't you worry, Mrs. Dutchy O'Cakes. I'll take it straight over to Nan's for a quick letting out and have it back here pressed and ready for the morning.
Oh, you are a sweetie. Because we're off to Mever for a friend's wedding. And I do so want to show them how you keep St. Austell's finest in the latest haute couture. Mwah, mwah, ciao.
Oh, it's such a shame Mrs. Mortimer moved the shop out to Foy. A bit more trade there, I suppose, but, oh, they had a lovely spot. There it was, opposite the Harbour Master and car park. You could see the river and look across to Pole Ruin. They took it over from, Hilda Corp, the councillor.
Yep, that was when they branched out into menswear as well. Mr. Mortimer was a gentleman's outfitter. He managed, John Collier's up the road in Exeter.
John Collier, the window to watch.
Nowadays, the shops are all different, though. Seesaw, Mooshloo? I think there's one called Fat Face even come in now.
I remember her window displays. They were some beauty. Jackets, coats. And do you remember how trousers suddenly became fashionable? Even did a bit of modelling herself. She organised the fashion shows, and you don't get anything like that in St. Austell now. You haven't even got a peacocks anymore.
Once upon a time, there was a dress shop where we used to change a hem or two. Remember how we loved away the hours and think of all the fittings we would do.
Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we choose. We'd fight and never lose. for we were young and sure to have our way. Then Saint Austell changed all around us. They built the Eden Project up the way. And if by chance we saw each other in Asda, we'd smile at one another and we'd say, those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we choose, we'd fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our way.
And just tonight I stood before the pound shop. Nothing seemed the way it used to be. And in the glass I saw a strange reflection. Was the old town just a distant memory?
Those were the days, my friend, we thought they'd never end. We'd sing and dance forever and a day. We'd live the life we choose, we'll fight and never lose, for we were young and sure to have our way.
Mortimer showed me some pictures of her wedding. She'd made her own dress. Oh, was something all right. It had 32 buttons all the way up the front, all the way to the top. Of course, you don't necessarily need to do them all the way up. You're meant to leave some of them undone. You end up looking a bit like a giraffe. It was creamy white with a veil. You have to have a veil so the groom can lift it up when it's time to kiss the bride.
Hey. Her husband looked grand too.
Oh, he did.
Double-breasted jacket, lapels.
Poor bloke must have gone spare undoing all of them buttons.
You nosy.
We went to America on our honeymoon. We started out in Vancouver, rained ever such a lot. Bit like here, really. We drove the Pacific Highway all the way up to the West Coast from California to Oregon. We even saw the Grand Canyon. We flew right through it in an aeroplane. This old tiger moth. It was like one of those biplanes, you know? Like one of those biplanes they had in the First World War. It was amazing. Open cockpit. Like sitting on a lawnmower, really. We had goggles and you couldn't hear each other with the wind in your face. I think it was the last year they flew those planes so low right through the canyon. Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right the way through the canyon.
Yeah.
Wow. But the only thing was, close up. No, they don't.
It's finished.
Close up, the water looked a bit dirty, if I'm honest.
It was.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, we saw Clint Eastwood's house in Malibu.
So did I.
Well, that was after his divorce, wasn't it?
Yeah.
After his divorce, yeah.
I think that's why some people get married.
What?
What?
So they can make the divorce official.
Well, when I got married, I was working as a cleaner at courts in St. Austell.
Yeah. Did you have to clean the witness stand?
And were there cells below the courts?
Did they have to bring the prisoners up from below?
No, don't be daft, courts. The furniture store.
Oh.
The only thing they ever brought up was the new stock from down below.
Down below?
Oh. We had quite a few guests at our wedding. About 40 it was. It was a lovely day. Had it in the morning in Stratton Church, up on the hill there.
My niece didn't want people throwing confetti at her wedding, so we just blew bubbles at the happy couple instead.
I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. They fly so high, nearly reach the sky. Then like my dreams, they fade and die. Fortune's always hiding.
Hiding.
I've looked everywhere.
light is dawning. They'll come again in the morning. I'm forever blowing bubbles, pretty bubbles in the air. They fly so high, nearly reach the sky. Then, like my dreams, they fade and die. Fortune's always hiding.
Hiding.
I've looked everywhere. I'm forever blowing bubbles.
Bubbles.
Pretty bubbles in the air. Oh, fortune's always hiding. Everywhere I'm forever blowing bubbles,
bubbles,
pretty bubbles in the air.
Oh, thank you. Beautiful dancer.
Thank you.
Yes,
very
oh, I
nice.
Like that one. The thing about our honeymoon was we didn't have a lot of money. And we were going to have a week in the house we shared in Torquay, all by ourselves. But our friends came back a week early.
No.
Didn't they know you were getting married?
Well, yes. But they were touring and the tour finished early, so they just came back.
Well, were you upset?
Well, I was a bit annoyed. But I think my wife was quite relieved.
I spoke to quite a few people who told me they'd been married up at Treverben Church. Just up by Stanerley, isn't it? Just off the main road, through Bugle. And, well, I thought it sounded like such a lovely place. My fiancé and I, we went up there for a walk, and we got off the main road, of course, and we went up this little lane called Telephone Lane, just between the houses. Couldn't find any telephone, but there was a hawthorn bush with a robin singing away, like a man looking for a mate, I suppose. And then we passed pastures full of cows. Very, very, very loud cows. And then there was one with a single bull. Stood clear of that one. And every now and again, we'd pass a farmhouse and there'd be a dog come running up to the fence. And then sometimes there'd be a whole pack of dogs running up to the fence. That turned out to be a dog kennel. And then as we came back down the road, we passed this thicket of brambles. Impenetrable it was. But there must have been hundreds of birds in there. Hundreds of birds. All different kinds. It was beautiful. All right, my bird? Anyway, we finally made it back down to the road, and there we could see behind us the clay hills by Bugle, what they call the Cornish Alps. It's always a sign of summer, isn't it? Because as we cross that road... to get back to the car... That's enough sound effects.
Right, my bird. Yes.
That's it.
That's accent you got there.
It's a funny accent, isn't it?
Yeah.
You see, that's the thing about accents, isn't it? Nobody thinks they've got an accent. But you always notice when somebody else has it.
We Cornish don't tend to break up our syllables.
Nope.
They slur them together. Like the word phoey is pronounced foy. Yeah. And a local would never say mevagissi. We'd always say mever.
I had two girls in my class and I said Launson, meaning Launceston. And they said, oh no, it's not. No, it's Lanson. And in fact, that is how it's spelt on some of the old maps.
How about you, Ron?
Lanson. Well?
Oh, no, I'm not Cornish. I'm a Dorset knob.
If the sit in Dorset was silent, you'd just be a doorknob.
Very funny. But what is this controversy that rages on about the difference between a Devon cream tea and a Cornish cream tea?
Well, they don't do it right in Devon for a start.
No.
Scone. Jam, cream. Not cream, then jam. Doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't work.
They say scones in Dorset, but you wouldn't want to put jam and cream on a Dorset knob either way round, would you?
Scones in Cornwall.
Scones,
is it? Scones.
Scones. It says here it's scones in Dorset, is that right?
I don't care. We're not in Dorset.
Quite right. Scones in Cornwall.
Yeah.
Yes. Cream or jam first?
Jam first.
Just checking.
Good.
Just
good.
Checking. Just checking. You might be from Devon without telling us.
I think we're getting a bit off track here.
If you care for what you say about Dorset, because I'm a Dorset now.
Are you a Dorset now?
What is a Dorset knob, Jackie?
Oh, little hard rusk. You eat with soup. Yes, you can break your teeth on it. Or you could throw it and knock somebody out.
So you can use it as a weapon.
Yeah, use it as a weapon.
All right, well, look, I think we're getting a bit off track, though, Jackie, to be honest. We were talking about Trevirben Church, to be fair. Remember?
Oh, Trevirben. Just off the road through Stanley's. I've been to quite a few weddings there. Both my nephews got married at Trevirben last year. One in May, one in August.
Oh, I love a good wedding. Mind you, though, my sons don't. They refuse to go. They say that they're anti-marriage.
There's a school just round the corner from there, where my sister-in-law works. I've got three sisters-in-law, and they all got children, and even the children have children.
Plenty more weddings for you, then.
Well, my partner and I have been together about 25 years now, and we've just decided to get married.
Sounds like she took some convincing.
I've always wondered, do you think there really is such a thing as love at first sight?
Well, it was for me, more or less.
Oh, that's sweet.
So what did you do? Did he take your phone number or something?
We never had phones back then. Letters, mostly.
Oh, that's much more romantic.
Mm. We courted 3 years like that before we got married.
3 years.
People just don't write letters anymore. Can't imagine being in love and waiting for the postman to arrive. Nowadays, everybody emails or tweets or texts or uses Instagram or FaceTime.
A letter's more personal, yes. I think. Mm. And you can read it again and again and again and again, can't you?
Actually, I wrote a letter.
In the form of a poem to my fiancé. It's called Perhaps Love. Perhaps love comes dismantled with flat-packed instructions, turning our memories into echoes, our eyes into horizons, our faith into sand, our tears into air. Sometimes we're barking like dogs, licking like cats. Perhaps love cries, unwelcome, distant, hopeful, grieving, like a voice disappearing, saying so many times we almost believe it. Honey, I just want to say that I think that plant in the corner needs feeding. Perhaps love rests fading under paintings in caves, beneath the surface of a tree stump, oak, or candle black in the dawny twilight. Perhaps love laughs at these costumes and their whispering arts, quietly ripping them apart like waves of mercury rising in the heat, or planets bubbling, or atoms splitting. Perhaps love beckons the unfaithful. Eyes crossing when meeting, smelling each other, eating, laughing, greeting, sitting beside each other at meetings. Perhaps love is a meeting of two minds. In a car crash of what's yours is mine. The defacing of historic shrines, or wandering through rice fields full of landmines. Perhaps love is a lifeline that we throw over the edge of time, or a concubine cuckolding our past lives, a movie about living and dying. I burn your house to protect the kids' world of evolution and survival, running from the sound of confusion, colluding with our own worst secret memoirs. Perhaps love is a past life, a fast line to nowhere time, a bypass, an easy chair, something that is always and forever just over there, the root of all our joy and all our despair, something which simply cannot bear this weighty world. Perhaps.
Love is like tending a garden, isn't it? Your dad was the gardener in the family, wasn't he?
Oh, yes. He used to grow everything, you name it. I used to crawl through the garden like it was a jungle when I was a little girl. His peas and his beans and his cabbages and lettuces and beetroot. And he kept chickens and pigs.
Oh, we had pigs and hens too.
Yeah.
Ours was a small holding. We had beans and onions. At one time, we had cattle.
This is brilliant.
I remember one Thursday night in the dark of winter, we were loading up the cattle and we heard on the radio that the Manchester United football team had had their accident.
Oh, I heard that.
The Munich air disaster,
yeah.
1958. They'd crashed off the runway in Germany. That upset me quite a lot. What did they call them? Busby's...
Oh, the babes.
Busby's, yeah, Busby's babes.
Well, my team won last night. 3-2 to Liverpool. It was absolutely brilliant. I thought, yes, come on.
They get paid a lot for kicking the ball about these days, don't they?
All these footballers care about is their houses and their cars and their haircuts and things.
Change of subject. People love their pets, don't they? But the funny thing is, you don't see many pets at weddings, do you?
Oh, we had dogs and cats. That dog was a bugger. He used to bark at people's Wellington boots. I always felt bad about that.
Yes. Did it end in tragedy?
No. When I was a boy, I trained him to do it. Oh, seemed funny at the time. As the years went by, though, it wasn't half annoying.
I've got a Labrador and she never barks.
I've got a Bichon Frise. She never barks.
My chocolate lab, she never barks. But you've got to watch her. My son literally went to go warm the pasties in the oven. He put them on top and he turned it on. He turned around. They were gone. My son, he rang me and he said...
Mum, how many pasties are there supposed to be?
So I said, 3. And he said...
Well, there's none now.
Yeah, the dog wasn't very well after that.
My husband and I waited till the kids had grown up. We'd been together quite a number of years before we got married. Bit of paper. Didn't make any diff, really.
Well, so why did you do it?
Well, I suppose you get to the point where you think you should tie up all those loose ends. Anyway, my birthday was going to be on the Friday, and my friend, she said...
Why don't you get married on your birthday?
And that was on the Saturday night, in a bit of a drunken spurge. Anyway, on the Monday morning, he was only leaving the country for some work abroad, wasn't he? So when he was packing, I said... Remember last night?
Oh, Corey, yes, you were like a blooming tiger.
I don't mean that. I mean, are we getting married or what? And he said...
Can if you like.
Can if you like. That was it. His proposal of marriage. Can if you like. So, all week, he was away and I was getting dresses and things and he was getting his proof of papers or whatever and rings and things. Anyway, that's how we did it. But my mother, she wasn't happy finding out after.
Well, actually, we were planning a registry office wedding, you know, really simple. But then I made the mistake of telling my mother.
Well, that's why my daughter didn't tell us. Theirs was going to be a white wedding, but it was going to be smaller than what I... Well, you know what it's like. You've got to draw the line in the perfect place, haven't you? But you never do. And I, being mother, well, I just kept on saying, well, yeah, but you've got to have Auntie this and Nessie too and so, and it was getting bigger and bigger. And she knew, she just knew that I would have said, oh, you can't do that unless you have so and so and so and so. So in the end, they just did it with their four friends without telling us.
I bet that didn't go down too well.
Well, like I said, I couldn't preach to her because I'd done it myself. But now I know how my mother felt. My other daughter, the eldest, just came out with it one day.
Mum, you've got to come up. We're getting married on Monday.
My youngest, on the other hand, she had a nice little wedding.
We did it in 6 weeks. It was small but quite nice. I got my dress and we had a simple reception. Just kept it nice and small.
Do you know what? I'm actually quite grateful in the end.
Why is that?
Well, my daughters saved us thousands. Sometimes the money that gets spent is like the deposit on a house. And I'd sooner they used it for that, really.
Yeah.
It's funny how complicated things get when you try and keep it simple. I suppose the moral of the story is if you don't want everyone coming,
just don't tell anyone.
I'll let you know a little secret. When I proposed, it was on Portowan Beach. It was Christmas Day. We'd gone out there, and we stood where the sea meets the sand. And there was a howling gale. And as my fiancé turned to look at the cliffs, I got down on one knee, took a ring from my pocket. And then she turned around and said, "Will you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?" And she said,
"Oh, of course I will, you old trollop."
Anyway, they say, love lasts forever.
Sweetheart, come along, for to hear the fond song, the sweet notes where the nightingale blows. For to hear the fond tale of the sweet nightingale as she sings in the valley below. As she sings in the valley below. Come sit yourself down with me on the ground, on the banks where sweet primroses grow. And to hear the fond tale of the sweet nightingale as she sings in the valley below. As she sings in the valley below. This couple agreed to be married with speed, and it's off to the church they did go. She's no longer afraid for to walk in the shade or to lie in the valley below. For to lie in the valley below.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you all for coming to our wedding party. And thank you to our very special guest performers, Keith Sparrow, Tony Crosby, Henry Emmett, Katie Kirk. Special thanks. I'll get to that.
Save the best till last.
Yes.
Our sound engineer, the wonderful Phil Innes.
Yeah, not saying a word.
No, nope. Saying a word. He's too shy. Annie Lovejoy, of course. My name is Mac Dunlop, and thank you for coming. I hope you'll join us in some bubbly.
Yeah. Did anyone know the wedding march? Yeah.